You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
So if you went to university and you believed something that the professor believed was wrong, you would be expected to try to hold your own. You've gone from there to education as emotional and personal validation.
Because you oppose the intentional killing of an innocent human being in the womb, you are responsible to take on all kinds of other issues. Now, Todd, nobody else gets hit with this.
What we believe about marriage is related to who we think Christ is, what Christ does for his bride, the church, what the church is, how Christ possesses his bride, and what he does for her.
A very secular understanding of sin, where sin is not you rebelling against God, sin is you participating in the psychological oppression of me in some way.
This retired Lutheran school religion, science, and math teacher loves to listen to and continues to learn from Issues Etc. And on March 14th, I still love a good-sized piece of pie. 3.14159265.
Salt Lake City Tribune, as of today, reads this headline: after nearly 350,000 internet contacts last year, Mormon missionaries are expanding their online teaching. Not only are they going online, they are lowering the age for Mormon missionaries. They're also changing, thereby, the proportion of men and women out there in the missionary field. And one of their apostles has predicted 100,000 Mormon missionaries in the field in the near future. We're going to be talking about changes in Mormon missionary strategy. It's a very important element of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Why are fewer and fewer men choosing to go out and do their mission? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, March the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Eric Johnson of Mormonism Research Ministry joins us for the first few minutes of the program to talk about those changes in Mormon missionary strategy. We'll conclude a two-part interview on nihilism with Dr. Angus Manus, president of the Evangelical Philosophical Society. Notre Dame's decision to provide contraceptives to employees and students will be the subject of our conversation with Alexandra DeSanctis, who's written a recent Wall Street Journal piece titled Notre Dame Became a Bit Less Catholic. Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll talk about the heavy burden of finding and fulfilling your dream destiny. And then, since it's Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We play four soundbites. You call and vote, or email and vote, or send us a tweet and vote, or visit our Facebook fan page and vote. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. That's for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour of the program. Joining us to talk about changes in Mormon missionary strategy, Eric Johnson, associate researcher for Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the book Answering Mormons Questions and a forthcoming publication, Sharing the Good News with Mormons. Eric, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
One of the apostles of the Mormon Church has predicted recently that there would be 100,000 missionaries in the field in the near future. Does that look like it's going to come true?
Not going to happen. And he actually said that in March of 2015. He was on Hugh Hewitt's show. And, well, that apostle has a tendency to do a little bit of bravado. And at the time, it looked like that would be a possibility, because in 2012, the church went ahead and lowered the missionary age, as you mentioned earlier, and it turned it into 18 years old for the men, it used to be 19, and also for the women, from 20 and a half to 19. And so what ended up happening is many more would be coming into the fold. The female population of the missionaries went up drastically, and you were double dipping for a couple of years. So in 2012, they only had 59,000 missionaries. But in 2013, because they were able to take from the 18-year-olds and the 19-year-olds and for the men, and they were serving for the 2 years, they were double-dipping. And so they had 83,000 missionaries, from 59,000 to 83,000. And then in 2014, they had 85,000. Well, when he said that, you know, it's looking like, okay, you keep going up, a few thousand more. By 2019, you would go up to 100,000. But what happened, and what I think most of us expected, would after they were done double dipping, it went down. In 2015, the number was announced at 74,000. So it went from 85,000 to 74,000. In 2016, it went down to 71,000. They lost about 5% of their missionary force. Now, in the original article that was in this morning's paper that you had mentioned, Todd, it had an interesting paragraph at the very end. And when I saw that, I started to do some calculations, and this is what it says. It says, these days it makes sense to use mostly women in its online push, since their numbers have surged from 13% of the missionary force from before 2012 to 30% after the church dropped the minimum age requirement for women from 20 to 19. So it was a fascinating paragraph because, number one, the number that was given as far as the missionary force was, in the paragraph before, 68,000. Now, those numbers are not going to be released until April's General Conference that will be held here in Salt Lake City, but it was 71,000 in 2016. Apparently, Peggy Fletcher Stack, the author of the article, has information. They've gone down even further, from 71,000 to 68,000. And what's even more fascinating, we don't have this kind of information, but somehow she was able to get the information to say that the female population went from 13% in 2012 to 30%. And I did my calculations, the math that I learned in high school, and I discovered that the Mormon Church has lost missionaries as far as males go from 51,000 in 2012 to 47,000. How are they able to stay at 68,000? Well, because the females are now 30% of the population, which is interesting because they don't like the females to go out into more dangerous areas. And so you're having fewer males going out into some of the countries that they like to have the males. They like to keep the females more at home, at the visitor centers, and as this article talks about, doing some of this online work. And so I think this is just an indication that we are seeing here in Utah, the church is losing members. And as we see here, the church is losing missionaries. And the average converts per missionary went from 4.6 converts per missionary in 2012. And in 2016, it's down to 3.4. So that's down about 25%.
How important is, in two senses, the missionary system in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, both to the Mormon Church, but also to the individual Mormon who participates? How would you describe that, Eric?
Well, I think the missionary program is an ingenious idea, and they've been doing it for years. And so when people come home from their missions, generally they're going to be more in the church. They're told to get married right away. And so for that aspect in keeping and retaining its people, the young people, and they get married 21 or 22, and here they are starting to have kids, and they're going to be in this church for the rest of their lives. But I'm going to say that this church, being a missionary church, but unfortunately for it, its members don't feel that they remain missionaries after they come home from their missions. And so what ends up happening is when they are trying to share their faith, as evangelical Christians, we'll talk to anybody. We don't need a pastor or a missionary to come to our home to share with a neighbor or a friend or family member. But what many Latter-day Saints will do, because they don't like confrontation, they'll say, would you like to have the missionaries come and give you the lessons? And so this system does have its strengths, as as far as retention of its members, but I think it has its weaknesses because too many of the members, I think, rely too heavily on all of these missionaries. In Utah, even though we're supposedly a Mormon state, we have many missionaries walk in the streets. We see them regularly. And in fact, we like to ask them, you know, why were you sent to Utah when most of the people here are LDS? And they say, well, there's a lot of people who aren't, plus they're trying to retain the people who are coming out the back door. And so it's a system that I think is failing for them.
And to the individual Mormon, I know it's not a requirement, especially for the men, strictly speaking, but it is strongly encouraged. Kind of paint that scenario for us, how within Mormonism they look at a young man who's gone out and done his 2 years or so and come back versus a young man who still, you know, shows up for services but doesn't go on a mission.
Well, that's a great question, and I'm going to say that the return missionary, they're known as RMs, are going to get the girl. And what do I mean by that? When they come home, they go to the singles ward, and if he had a good mission and he brought in converts and everything else, there will be a line for him, and he'll be dating all these girls, and it'll be great, and he'll have all kinds of opportunities to marry somebody. Typically, it will be somebody who's maybe a couple years younger than he, and so you see that happen regularly. But for a man who does not do his mission, a lot of Mormon women, young ladies, are wanting a return missionary. It's the knight in shining armor syndrome. And so they don't consider somebody who hasn't been on the mission field to be as much of a catch, I suppose you would say. And we're seeing as well that a lot of the females, because the increase in the number of women going onto the mission field, now the missionaries, we said, are 30%. In the old days, most women did not consider it to be a necessity to go on a mission. It was more important to get married at 20. And so many LDS women were getting married by 20 and marrying those return missionary men. But now you're having a lot of these gals go out there, and so they're 21 when they come back. And so you have that whole idea of more women are considering it to be more important to go. And when they come back, oftentimes, they will not settle for a man who has not been on a mission. So, yeah, it's a very big social card, especially here in Utah. And I've known young men who have decided not to go, and it's not very much fun for them for the next few years as they're trying to get married and settle down like the return missionaries will.
So it's not only encouraged, but the failure to go is, at least in an informal way, strongly discouraged.
You're right, exactly. And it's an unwritten rule. You want to get the girl, you're going to need to do this. And it's going to be something that will stick with you for the rest of your life. The Mormon adults, one of the first questions they'll ask is, we often will say, well, what do you do for a living? Well, what they'll ask is, well, where'd you go on your mission? And can you imagine when you're 35 and the embarrassment, if you were not a convert after the age of 18, especially if you were born in the covenant, they call it, you were born into the Mormon church, and to say, well, I didn't serve one. I decided to go to college for the 4 years and decided not to go. There's something that is lesser for such a person.
We're talking with Eric Johnson, Associate Researcher for Mormonism Research Ministry in Draper, Utah, about changes in Mormon missionary strategy. When we come back, we'll talk about those online efforts that we read about in the Salt Lake Tribune. 350 internet contacts last year, they claim. So they want to expand their online efforts at missionary work there now that they're online, you don't have to cross any borders, get on a plane, or spend time away from mom and dad. You can sit in the comfort of your own home and be a Mormon missionary. We'll be right back.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We're currently faced with a crisis in Christianity, a life and death struggle between orthodoxy and heresy, between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults.
The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The prosperity gospel, it's nothing short of a wholesale transformation of Christianity. It's the glory of the cross supplanted by the glory of consumerism. It's a fast food Christianity. It's long on looks, but it is dreadfully short on substance.
You can meet and hear Hank Hanegraaff at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org. Don't miss the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Do you know when the Church Fathers were revived, when we got the Church Fathers back? The Reformation.
Why do you hate me so? Why do you treat me like this? Why do you love this Jesus more than you love your family?
So if sin brings death, then the forgiveness of sins is also going to bring life, and it's going to give life not just to our souls, but to our bodies. So this becomes a kind of hidden seed of the resurrection that is being implanted within us.
The deliverer doesn't come until Good Friday and Easter. The deliverer, it's not Saul, it's not even David, it is the Son of David, who sits at the right hand of God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Just a taste of the four sound bites we'll be playing for you in the last half hour of the program. When we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, we'll play those soundbites for you in their entirety, and then you'll call, email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and your votes will decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're talking about changes in Mormon missionary strategy. Eric Johnson, associate researcher for Mormonism Research Ministry in Draper, Utah, is our guest. Eric, talk about what really is, and you mentioned this before, a remarkable, it looks like, at least if trends continue this way, there will be more female missionaries than there are men missionaries in the Mormon Church.
Yeah, I mean, just the idea that we have 4,000 or 5,000 fewer missionaries that are male from 2012. So they're going down, and certainly the numbers are propped up by how many females are going in. And so in that sense, it was an ingenious strategy to go ahead and lower the age for the women so they wouldn't just go and get married or decide not to go. Because by the time you're 20 and a half, you're starting to get on with your life, and you don't want to maybe pause there. So 19 is an easier age. And so it's a very male-oriented religion. I mean, you have the priesthood is only with the males, the Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthoods, they call it, and they're the ones who have the authority, and yet almost a third now of all the missionaries that are out there, the 68,000 missionaries as reported in this article this morning, are going to be female. And so I think that's a trend that if they continue, I think it's going to weaken the ability for this church to be able to spread its gospel all over the world.
So are there theological reasons, either implied or explicitly stated, why it is to someone's advantage in the Mormon Church, either male or female, to go on a mission?
Nothing stated. It's just it's all a part of the social element, and so for many, many years, women were not being encouraged. They would, in fact, they used to tell the women it would be better for you to stay at home if you can get married. But if you can't get married, then go ahead and come on a mission, and then that idea has certainly changed with the lowering of the age, and so you could tell that they were attempting to get more people onto the field, because I think Mormonism is at a crisis right now. I mean, in 2013 to 2015, and I know you've talked about this with Bill McKeever, some of the Gospel Topics essays that came out, and they were admitting things that they would have never admitted to before, like Joseph Smith having over 30 wives, and the Book of Mormon was translated with a stone and a hat, and those kinds of things. And I think they were looking for damage control short term. They didn't think it was going to hurt. Well, it really has hurt. And so they're losing their members. People are leaving in droves. They're mainly headed toward atheism than they are to Christianity, and that's something we're trying to correct as we do meet many of these folks who are leaving. But I think this is just a sign that, and when they did that in 2012, that they're starting to get a little desperate. And I think technology that they're touting in this article here has actually done more to harm Mormonism, because now people have access to facts that they wouldn't have had 20 years ago.
Let's talk about the flourishing of the online missionary efforts. What did these actually look like?
Well, and the church has been going to this in recent years, and they're very good with technology. There's no doubt about it. I Am a Mormon campaign came out with the number that you would call, and so you're seeing fewer missionaries knocking on doors anymore. You're seeing more of them actually trying what they call golden contacts. They're looking for people who are going to be more open to it rather than knocking on doors and having people scream at them. And so so that 888 number that is there is certainly going to use technology. And you have to understand, too, that if you go on the internet, as this article that you're referring to explained, if you type in the word Mormon, they have worked out a deal with Google that their sites come up first. I just went on during the break and I typed in Mormon missionary, and sure enough, the first site was an ad, and so I clicked on there, and this is what the ad says. It's a page, and do you want to chat with a missionary? We're happy to answer any questions you may have. And then gives the 888 number, and then a free Book of Mormon pop-up came up, and it talks about meeting with the missionaries, and then it has a place for you to fill out all your information. So this is certainly, they're wanting to get better contacts so they don't have to waste time doing all the knocking on doors. And I think they're doing as good of a job as they can, and they've equipped the missionaries with technology. In 2014, they equipped the missionaries with iPad minis and gave them they don't bring their big backpack anymore with all the books and everything. Now they have all their scriptures right on the iPad mini. And then in 2017, they started to take away the tablets for the smartphones, and then in late 2017, they doubled the number of missions. There are 422 missions, and so now there are 162 missions that are using smartphones. So they're texting people, they're using all the things that teenagers can do with the phones, and utilizing their time as best as they can in order to talk to as many interested people as possible.
We are often told, and this is just kind of urban legend in the broader swath of American Christianity, that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is growing exponentially. It's fastest growing religion in the United States. Is that true?
Absolutely not. And in fact, their numbers are going down. And I have stats right in front of me, and I won't bore you with numbers, but let me just say that their church in 2012, with only 59,000 missionaries, grew by 272,000 converts. And like I mentioned earlier, that's 4.6 converts per missionary, if you were going to say a missionary is bringing in all the converts. And that would be an average of 4.6. Well, in 2016, the last recorded number that we have, it went from 296 was the height, 296,000 in 2014, under 300,000. And then in 2016, 240,000, down 20% in 2 years. Now, this church back in the 90s was growing really, really high. I mean, in 1990, they had 330,000 converts, and they had half the membership. So they're growing double at the number percentage-wise as they are now. So we have never seen them go over 300,000 ever since the 1990s. And again, we attribute that to technology, that people can go on the internet. Yes, you can type in Mormon and get the LDS.org site first, but boy, there are sure a lot of other sites, including Christian sites like ours at MRM.org, that people are now going to and finding out the real information and not having to wait until the Gospel Topics essays come out.
What do you expect with the elevation of the newest prophet of the Mormon Church, the death of the most recent and the elevation of the newest one? What do you expect?
Thomas S. Monson is the one who passed away earlier this year, and he's replaced by Russell M. Nelson, who is a surgeon. And he comes across, he tries to come across as being a really nice guy. And he had a very awkward press conference when they announced that he would be the new prophet, which is the elder apostle always gets that. And I don't think you're going to see much change. He's 93 years old, and I think he's status quo. We're certainly looking forward to maybe 10 years from now when we're going to start getting a few guys in there possibly that might be a little bit more radical in the way they want to do things. I mean, Jeffrey Holland, that we mentioned earlier in the show, he'll be a good one. We'll be very interested to see what he has to say. But Russell M. Nelson, very conservative. He's status quo, so you won't see much in the way of changes in the way that the church operates.
Eric Johnson is associate researcher for Mormonism Research Ministry in Draper, Utah, co-author of the book Answering Mormons' Questions, and a forthcoming publication, Sharing the Good News with Mormons. You'll find a link to Mormonism Research Ministry under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Eric, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
On the other side of the break, we're going to conclude a two-part interview on nihilism with Dr. Angus Manoos, president of the Evangelical Philosophical Society. Then we'll spend some time with Alexandra DeSanctis, who's written recently for the Wall Street Journal, Notre Dame became a bit less Catholic, about Notre Dame's decision to provide contraceptives through health coverage to employees and students.
Time for the 5th Annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 17th and 18th, added to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. The show is a fundraiser produced by a volunteer parents group with the support of over 70 exhibitors and partners. Admission and parking are free. Hear home and garden speakers from Priscilla's Nursery and Mosby Building Arts, see a monster truck from Dex's Tree Service, meet radio personalities and Fred Bird too. Participate in the Cardinal Glennon Safety Fair, child fingerprinting and fire safety, and take advantage of pet adoption, electronic recycling, and shredding services on site. Register to win a fire pit from Outdoor Creations and an all-inclusive trip for two at an AM resort courtesy of Jadina Tweston at Travel One and Fun Jet Vacations. Restrictions apply. The Metro East Home and Garden Show is sponsored by the Bank of Edwardsville, CJDE Recycling, Scott Credit Union, Mosquito Joe's, Riverbender, and EdGlennToday.com. Show details can be found at MEHGS.org or on Facebook.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet. But the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit, or call 218-724-2500.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education.
Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.